Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Here, let me ask you something before we get into the message. What are the conditions that have to be in place for you to worship? Grateful heart, giving, a thankful heart. You know, that's something we really need to ponder. Do what? Love for one another. If we're not careful, we will allow the influence of entertainment, the influence of a culture that has to be stimulated to worship. Say that again. Jacob leaned upon his staff and worshiped the Lord. During worship, it just came to me about the conditions that sometimes we look for before worship is actually released. Things can get real bad sometimes in your life. Did you know that? You can go through very difficult times, very, very hard things. Christians are not exempt from persecution. Christians are not exempt from tribulations, hardships, trials. We're not exempt from that. Now, when we was talking about the heart of worship, or what's the name of that song that we did about worship, Charlie? Huh? All I wanted. You did a great job with that, Susan. Where is Susan? You did a great job with that. There you are. You did a great job with that. But it just came to me and said, all I want to do, and all in that song, it says, no way, no way, no way. And there was another song that said, no way. And it just struck me, it said, no way, no way. So even when you think there's no way, there's Yahweh. That's right. Boy, that's good stuff. Yeah. That's worth writing down. Yeah, yeah. You know, even when you think, my goodness, this is falling apart. Well, guess what we get to do? Worship the one true God. What do you think it was like in the dungeon with Paul and Silas? They saw no way, but they did the Yahweh. They did the Yahweh thing. So basically the answer to the question was, what are the conditions for worship? And it's this. It's your heart. If you have a heart to worship, you'll worship it. You will worship no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what is going on around you. You will worship if you have a heart for worship, because he said, "Those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth." And Jesus said, "The Father is looking for true worshipers," which means they're false worshipers, which means there's people that worship, but their worship is empty. In other words, it's just singing. It's just playing. By the way, we didn't come here just to sing. We didn't come here to play the instruments. Right? Yes. Yeah, worshiped him, even. Yeah, y'all hearing Billy? Yes, no? Y'all hearing Billy? Yes, no? Are y'all hearing Billy when he talks? I've changed my mind. No. About David.
The example I give was that David buried his son, and then it says he washed his hands. He prayed that God would spare his son, and his son died. He buried his son. and he washed his face and he went into the house of the Lord to worship. I'm sure he probably wasn't thankful or grateful, but he knew who his God was. He knew the sovereignty of God, that God is who he says he is. And that is what we base our worship upon, not what we feel, because those come and go, but it's based on who he is.
Amen. That's good. Yes. Yep.
That's the only requirement for worship.
Yep. So let's not get caught up in the things that my feelings have to be right to worship. I can't, how many of you just have not ever in your life, you've just not felt like worshiping? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But what do you do? What are we supposed to do? Worship anyway. Why? Because it's a sacrifice now of my praise. I don't feel like it. I need to feel it. No. We don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. And if we have faith in him, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I know it's for somebody. So we need to make sure that we're not conditioned to what the atmosphere has to be here, or what the songs sound like, where the lights are up, where the lights are down. Are you with me? Yeah, we worship anyway. So the next time you don't have, you're down to your last dollar, I got news for you. Sow it into the kingdom and worship him anyway. When you see like there's no way, no way, no way, no way, then you just stand up and say, Yahweh. Yahweh. Looks like this is gonna go under. Well, guess what? We're gonna go up. I'm going to ascend my worship and my praise. See, we didn't come here to sing. We didn't come here to perform. We came here to worship. We came here to praise the only true God, no matter what we're going through, no matter what it looks like, feels like, or acts like. We came to praise him. We came to worship him. We came to get fed from the word of God. We came to get equipped. We came to get encouraged. We came to get lifted up and edified so we can go out and conquer what it is that the Lord has for us in the next season that we go out. We came here to help one another. We came here to lift each other up. We came here to prophesy. We came here to encourage people with the word of God. We came here to get influenced so much by the Spirit that we're filled up with. We came here to get filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
We came here to get drenched in the word of God and what the word is for the season, what the word is for the now, what the word is. That's the reason we come. We didn't come here to do a duty. We didn't come here to do just a few songs. We came here to worship. We came here for all those reasons. We came together as a body. Listen, you can worship at home, but you can't worship together with the body till you come here or you go to another congregation. That's when you worship as a body. You see each other worshiping. Knowing that they're going through a difficult time. Went over to see Mama Milam a few weeks ago and she was still at home, and I walked in, and because I said she's just grasping for breath. She's not able to get her breath real good. And I said, I'll be there in just within an hour, because I live down in South Carolina. So, came up, walked into the house, and saw one of her sons and grandchildren, and said, is she still here? Yeah, she's still here. She's still here. And she's had a rough time, and so on. So he started talking, and I'm wanting to hurry up. Really, I'm wanting to hurry up and leave him to get to her. But he was still talking. And I'm like, yeah, I got it. And then I'm like, God, help me get to her. All of a sudden, so everybody say, all of a sudden.
All of a sudden.
Here's what I heard. Oh, Lord, my God, When I in awesome wonder, sing it. I see the stars. This is coming from her room. Then she paused. She paused and went, then sings my soul. How great thou art. She did this. Then sings my soul. Barely can breathe, and said, Charlie wasn't. She was just bellowing out, just grabbing for breath and praising her God. Frail, can't get up. She's back there praising her God. You know, and I looked at her son. I said, I got to go. I went on back in the middle of her singing. I just held her hand. She looked up, saw who it was, and I started singing with her. In the midst of sickness, in the midst of dwindling away, in the midst of close to leaving this earth, she's singing with all her might to her God. Worship. Yes. Tell the church, tell the pastors I love them. And she does. Yeah, it wasn't a Sunday go by that she, hardly a Sunday go by that she didn't say something to me and say, I love you, I've been praying for you. I really do like what God's telling you. Now listen, why are we talking? It's worship. It's about the worship. Do not let the influence of this world start dampening your worship. Let your worship be the piercing thing that breaks through whatever it is that you're going through. Break through what you're going through with worship and praise, unashamed, and just let her rip. Amen? That's good stuff. It really is. It's good stuff. Worship. She held mine. Charlie came in just a little bit later. She held my hand on one side and Charlie on another. And she said, I don't know any two other people that I'd like to go home in the presence of. And she's grabbing my hand, about to cut the blood off. I mean, but and Charlie, she's holding Charlie's hand. He's got hand cramps. She's quite, you know, and I'm thinking, I said, this woman ain't leaving no time soon. She's got a grip like a bulldog. I said, she ain't leaving no time soon. As this was probably about a month ago, wasn't it, Charlie? Something like that. And, you know, she said, I just want the Lord to just go ahead and take me now. You know, she just fell back and closed her eyes, squeezing her hands. And we just stood there and said, Lord, just bless her. Just bless her. She's still making her hands cramp the whole time. She heads back and closing her eyes. And all of a sudden, she opened up her eyes and still here. It's amazing. It's amazing. I said, it don't work that way, Mama. It's his appointed time, not mine and yours. Oh, she's a jewel. Well, it's good to be here today. And I want to talk to you briefly about a little bit about being in the royal family. Everybody say the royal family. You know, there's a royal family in England. Queen Elizabeth and all the people that's in the royal family, the bloodline and all that. You know, it makes a big difference if you're in a royal family or if you're a commoner. But you know, royal families have protocols. They have certain things that they can do and cannot do. They have certain, and a protocol is sort of like rules of behavior, an acceptable behavior, a system of governing. Well, I've got a few of these for the royal family that's in England. You want to hear a few of them? When the queen stands, you stand. No one can eat if the queen has finished her meal. If she's finished her meal, you're finished. She better be a slow eater, especially with Rita. Is Rita, you here? You still here? She chews her food 23 times. It's like, grits. Now I'm messing with her. I mess with her. She's a slow eater. She really is. So if the queen is through, you're through. Bowing and giving curtsies is a requirement when greeting the queen. Public displays of affection for them is looked down upon when they're traveling. Their hands are beside them. Approval to marry somebody in the royal family. Approval. Just for the proposal, you have to have approval to propose to it. The royal family bank bouquet must contain myrtle. The royal family can't have political views, and they cannot be allowed, and they're not allowed to vote, nor can they run for office. Here's an interesting one. Monopoly is a forbidden board game amongst the royal family. You know what my question was? Why? But it wasn't in the write-up. Dinner conversations are formulated so at the first course of the meal, she talks to the first person on the right. Once that's finished and the second course comes, she then transfers over and goes to talking to the person on her left. Didn't know that, did you? No. See, this is royalty. Every trip you take you have to pack a outfit that is all black. I know why on that one, do you? In case they have a death that they have to go to a funeral. They've got it. Two heirs are not allowed to travel together. So once Prince George turns 12, he and Prince Harry they have to fly separately. The two heirs can't travel together. They aren't allowed to sign autographs nor take selfies. Boy, we could learn some royalty here. The royal family cannot eat shellfish. You're not allowed to touch royalty. LeBron James learned that the hard way. He had a picture with Kate and he just wanted a picture, and he just went up and went whoop. And not supposed to do that. Anyway. The royal family has strict dress code. I put street dress clothes. Strict dress codes. The mother or the woman must wear hats to all formal events, I should say. After 6 p.m., hats come on and tiaras are put on. Tiaras are reserved for the married women. Tiaras must be worn at a 45-degree angle. Royalty. Why? There's a behavior that's expected. The queen's breakfast menu is non-negotiable. She has breakfast tea followed by cornflakes. Non-negotiable. The family must accept all gifts. The family does not open Christmas presents on Christmas Day. They exchange the gifts in the red drawing room during tea time on Christmas Eve. Garlic is not allowed in the palace. No potatoes, pasta, nor rice is served for dinner. Ever. The family is expected to learn multiple languages. You never turn your back on the queen or the king. The children are expected, you heard the emphasis, to act graciously. Something else we can learn from royalty. The queen's wardrobe must be a bright color so she can be easily spotted in a large crowd. The women have to sit in a certain way with their legs crossed at their ankles and their knees together. If the queen moves her purse from the left over to the right arm, one of the staff members cuts off the conversation that she is in. That's a signal to let them know that I need to end this conversation. So instead of her ending it, the staff comes in and ends the conversation. And she does this from here to here. It's like, end this conversation. Nice. Get a purse. Just get a purse. When she places her purse on the table, dinner is officially over and must end within 5 minutes. That purse carries a lot of power, doesn't it? Why are you saying all this? We'll get to the point in just a minute. I hope you enjoy it while we're going. Nicknames are completely forbidden. They still call Kate Catherine, and they always will. Even how you hold a teacup has protocol. This finger and this finger is in the loop of the cup, and this finger is underneath. And no pinkies are coming. I've always done it this way, with pinkies out, like, oh yeah, but they do not do pinkies. So I've been mistaken all this time. When posing for pictures, the royal women must pose with their chin parallel to the ground. No up and no down, parallel to the ground. Interesting, just interesting. Queen is not required to have a driver's license nor a license plate. She can drive where she wants and go where she wants without anybody stopping her. The queen's dogs are always prepared a gourmet meal. And since their marriage, Prince Philip, her husband, must walk a few steps behind and to the side at all times. We don't want to do that, do we? No. So what is all this about? It's about, in a kingdom, there's protocol. In a kingdom, there are ways of behavior that we must learn to do. In a kingdom, do you know that you're in a royal family? The person sitting beside you, if they have accepted Christ, if they have said yes to the sacrifice that Jesus gave for them to be born again, you're sitting beside royalty. Look at them. Look at them. And everybody been born again? Raise your hand. Everybody been born again? If you've been born again, raise your hand, raise your hand, raise your hand. Wave at me. Now the person beside them, look at them. They're royalty. Everybody say, they're royalty. You should not mistreat royalty.
Ooh, yes.
Who?
Yes.
Well, we should have learned that.
Yes.
You should not mistreat royalty. And the reason we're royal is because he made us that. Do you understand that we are kings and priests in this kingdom? People don't like to hear that. People really fuss about that. So, we're not kings. He's the king. No, he's the king of kings. I'm going to prove this to you. His desire to have kings was over in Genesis chapter 17. He was talking to Abram, and he changed his name from, he made a covenant with Abram, and he said, from this day on, your name will not be Abram. Your name will be Abraham. Abraham. He put God in his name. He said, and after doing that, he said, as for me, behold, the covenant that I've made with you, and you shall produce multitudes of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful. And listen to this. And I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. Kings. His desire has always been for kings and authorities. You know why? Because he had us in mind. Kings and priests. We are kings and priests. You're part of the royal family. Amen? You are. You're part of the royal family. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. You're very valuable. What makes something valuable? Paid for. Listen, do you know Napoleon's toothbrush sold for $21,000? I got a couple at the house I'll bring next week and we'll auction them off. Probably won't get that much. Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. Everybody say the word fake. Fake pearls. Well, you know what that means? You might know what fake pearls are. Costume jewelry. They're not real. They're not real pearls. But her fake pearls, not her real pearls, her fake pearls sold for $211,500. Fake pearls. JFK's wooden golf clubs went for $772,500. Nice set of clubs, I think. So my question is, what made all these things that valuable? It was the person that owned them. Say, here it comes. What makes you so valuable? The person that owns you. The person who bought you. The one that shed his blood. So all this other thing. I mean, you know, it's all, you know, we can go on with all this stuff about this jersey sold for this and this sold for that. But what makes you valuable is who bought you, who owned you. That's what made these items valuable, who owned them. Did you find 1 Peter chapter 2? Therefore, putting aside, verse 1, therefore putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, newborn babes look for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. See, you should be growing in respect to your salvation, your deliverance from darkness to light. You have tasted the kindness of the Lord, and coming to him and as a living stone rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. You're being built up as a spiritual house. Everybody say spiritual house. And why is that? Rest of it says to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. You and I should offer up spiritual sacrifices up to God. That's acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus. For this is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed. Pause. He who believes in him shall not, say shall not, shall not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, became the very cornerstone and the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. And to this doom they were also appointed. Here is where it gets good. But you are a chosen race, a chosen nation. You are a royal priesthood. Everybody say royal. There you are. There you are, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And this thing about a peculiar people. I remember Terry Wilson preached a message a few years ago about this being peculiar. And it's not that we act goofy, that we act strange, or that we do act a little strange sometimes by walking by faith. But it's not that we're just goofy. It means that at an appointed time, he bought you. At an appointed time, peculiar, at an appointed time, he purchased you. That's what that word peculiar means. It does not mean we're just goofy. Say, I'm peculiar. Because there was an appointed time that he bought me. So you're not your own. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. Why? That you might proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. For you once were not a people. You weren't once were not a people. You used to not be a people. But now you're the people of God. Look at somebody and say, you're the people of God. Just say, you're a royal family. Amen. You had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. Now you have received mercy. That thing about the priesthood in Weiss translation says this: you are a chosen race and king priest. You are a set-apart nation, people of God's own possession, that you might proclaim abroad the excellencies of the one who got you out of darkness and got you into his marvelous light. The Amplified says this: you're a royal nation, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display in your behavior. Display them. How many of you know when you see royal family in England, you know, you sort of can tell them apart because they're acting differently than everybody else. The Message Bible says this, that you have a priestly, kingly and priestly calling, God's instruments to do his work and to speak out for him and to tell others of him. Night and day, the difference that he made in your life. You are to tell people night and day the difference that he made in your life. Phillips' translation of the same passage says this: it was for you to demonstrate the goodness of him who called you out of the darkness too. It's supposed to be on demonstration. It's supposed to be on display. It's supposed to be in our behavior. Passion says this, the Passion version says this: but you are a chosen treasure. Well, I like that. You are a chosen treasure. Priests who are kings. There it is. Priests who are kings, a spiritual nation. He goes on, he says, he did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the earth. He made you kings and priests so that you could broadcast his excellencies, his amazing wonders throughout all the earth. So the question is, how much are we broadcasting? So I honestly believe that sometimes we don't get it that we're priests and kings and that we're royalty. We've been told so much by the enemy and by the world that you're nothing. Matter of fact, you're a hindrance. Go away. Do whatever you're going to do inside the walls, and that's it. But see, they're coming for inside the walls. Right? They're coming for inside the walls. They drug them. Listen, Saul drug them out of houses to flog them, thinking he was doing what God wanted. That's how deep deception can be. I said, we need to understand and grasp and hold on to that we are a royal family. We are priests and kings. Kings that have authority. Didn't Jesus say, I give you authority? That made you a king. Then he told us to pray. That made us priests. To be able to intercede for other people. The only problem is we've got such a perverted and such a distorted view of being kings because of the kings that we see and how they operate. They operate to try to make sure that nothing of theirs gets gone, nothing, you know, just preserve what we have and protect everything here, and it's all about the king. He's made us kings and priests to be empowered to serve others well. We're not here to build our kingdom. We're here to build his. If we do not grab hold of this thing of priests and kings, royal family, we will mistreat each other to begin with. And we will not serve, listen, we will not serve as a king or a queen. So we have to get this. I'm not going to finish this today. We'll just have to finish it next time we're together. But we must serve. As a king. And we must be kings and queens that serve. We were so messed up that Jesus came. One of the reasons, not the reason, one of the reasons that Jesus came is to show us the model of what a true king looks like. Everything he did, he was king. True model of that he gave was he girded himself with a towel, bent down, and washed dirty, nasty feet of his followers. Servant leadership. A servant king. A king that said, oh, go to the, you know, everybody bow down to me because I'm in the room. No, that's arrogance and pride. That's the reason we must capture the essence of who Jesus is as a king and begin to understand that he modeled to us everything. And why is that? Why is it so important that we don't go around thinking, you know, a king really doesn't go around thinking, I got a problem today. I wonder who's going to fix it. No, he doesn't do that. A king, if a problem's brought to him, guess what? He's the fixer. Why is that so important? Because we're going to be facing a lot of different problems. We're going to be facing a lot. You know, Jesus never thought, oh, here's a guy that's crippled. Here's a guy that's lame. Here's a guy that's blind. Here, he said, oh, I wonder if the resources of heaven is available for healing. He never said that. Why? Because he knew as king, he had unlimited resources. Everybody say unlimited. He had unlimited resources to be able to take, to be able to do anything that the Father wanted him to do. Same as you, as a king, he's given you authority. You and I should, when we're faced with people that are sick, we're faced with people that are this, we're faced with, even with wisdom, we're faced with unlimited resources. We cannot be told that now we have these limitations. As a king, you operate the way Jesus operated. All of heaven was available at his disposal. Are you getting this? Drink it in. Why? Because we still have those people that says, we're not kings and priests. But the Bible says we are. The Bible says over in Revelation, and I've got to close. The Bible says over in Revelation, let me get to it. Revelation 1, 5 and 6. And from Christ, and from Jesus Christ, who is faithful witness and first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Who made you a king, queen, and priest? Who made you that? Say the word. Say it out loud. Jesus, when he washed you, he made you a king or a queen, and he made you a priest. Why? Whatever was given to him is given to you. He ain't holding nothing back. We get this thing, says, no, well, I just can't do the things that Jesus did. Jesus said, greater things than these that I've done, greater are you going to be able to do. But see, we walk around saying, oh, no, I can't do that. Why? Because we're believing what the world is saying. We're believing the opinion of non-believers. You can no longer afford to think thoughts about you that does not line up with his thoughts about you. We've got to be able to think thoughts that he's thinking about us. I was talking with somebody the other day. He said, well, the past is really bothering me. And we'll talk about a little bit more of that later. But he said, the past is really bothering me, this sin. I said, listen, man, you're not understanding the scriptures. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, here's the enemy accusing you before the righteous judge. And the Bible says that Jesus is your advocate. He's your lawyer. And the accuser walks up and says, old Glenn Thomas, he lied. That's the accusation. The advocate of the Father says, he says he lied. Is anything on the books? The Father looks down at the books and says, nope. No evidence. Case dismissed. He's free. Boy, well, I've got to close. Don't want to, but I need to. I want you to let this word saturate you today. Matter of fact, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to read the rest of 1 Peter 2. Just read it all. Look at it. Study it. We are a people designed by God, the Father, to operate and to rule as kings and priests in this earth. But since we do not know who we are, we do not operate in the authorities that he has already given us. That has to change. We don't. Jesus said, "Look, these guys and the Gentiles, they have the authority and they lord it over you." In other words, I'm the boss. I'm they lord it over. He said, "It's not so with you." Why? Because he goes on and says this: those of you that intend to be great, you serve all of them. Serve all of them. I remember when John and Faye was coming, and we were down there in the Family Life Center and having one of our meals. It's been years ago, and they came to us, and we want you to go on home. Go, please go home. Go home. We got this. I said, nah, we was putting up tables and chairs. Everybody was, you know, all the members were just helping clean up. And me and Brenda was over there helping clean up, putting up chairs and rolling out the tape, rolling up the tables. And they said, John came first. You need to go. Miss Faye did. Miss Faye came first. Said, we'd like for y'all to go. We want y'all to go. Go get some rest. And I said, I appreciate that, but we really want to serve. She came back a few minutes later. Said, we really want y'all. Y'all, please go. Please go home. We just want. And then I said, we're okay. Well, it wasn't just a few minutes later. She brought John. I remember it like it was. Yeah, but she brought John. John said, Pastor, we really want you to. Now, they hadn't been here long. We really want you to go home, and we want to honor you. And I said, listen, I appreciate the honor. I do appreciate the honor. I said, but if I can't model serving, I won't be great at leading. And I told John, I said, John, do you want me to be a great leader? He said, yes, I do. I said, well, then let me put these tables and chairs up. He said, I got it. Why is that? Because we're servants. That's the lead that Jesus gave us. Jesus said, this is how you do it. You want to be great as a leader? Serve everybody. Amen? Let's say it together. I am a king. Ladies, you can say I am a queen. Let's do it again. I am a king. I am a priest. He has made me this way. I am going to fulfill my function. Because this is who I am. Amen. Well, I tell you, that's good stuff. We're going to talk about it again the next time we're together. Let's stand. Did you get anything out of this? Now, if all you remembered is what we talked about from the king, the queen of England, then you missed the point. You know, but it is interesting to know how royalty works, right? Yes. But we look in this Bible and we see royalty all over it. And you see that we are who he says we are. You can't afford to listen to the opinions of the next person who says you're not. Whatever their opinion is, it's just an opinion and it's not what God says about you. By the way, you need to be saying what God says about you. You do not need to be saying things about you that is not in agreement with him. You don't need to be putting your own self down. You need to be able to say, this is what God says about me. This is what my Father says about me. This is what Jesus says about me, and this is who I am. When we capture this thing and hold tight to this thing of who we are, that we are priests and kings, I'm telling you, we're going to be operating, and we do this in order to be able to help others and not for our own benefit. I tell you, you're going to turn the world upside down. You're going to make the biggest difference you've ever made in your life just by becoming a servant king and a servant priest. Amen. Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to gather with your people, your precious people, your precious treasure. That we are to you. And we thank you. As you pause now, we just ask you if there's anyone here that you have not received Christ and you're on the outside of this family. You're not sure, but you want to say, I want to make it sure, Pastor. I want to make sure that I'm part of the family of God because I know he bought me. I know he paid the price to buy me, to purchase me, and to take away all my sins. And I want to do that today. I want to do it now. Would you just lift your hand? Anybody? God bless you. God bless you. If anyone else needs prayer, we're going to dismiss the service and we're going to ask some of our prayer team to come up and be available to pray for people if you need prayer, and they'll be right here facing that way. And the one that raised your hand, I would like for you to come up, and we're going to have someone to meet with you and to explain to you how you can get this done and how to get into the family of God. Father, thank you again for your wonderful mercy. Yes, we were not a people, but now we are. We were not a people who had grace and mercy upon us, but now we are a people that has received mercy. Thank you. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you raised your hand, come up. Listen, if you forgot your vegetables, bring them next week. Okay, if you forgot your canned vegetables, bring them next week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.